Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. We're broadcasting here from the eastern plains of Colorado, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. At a time where 95% of Americans confess to premarital sex, the nuclear family now less than half of American households per a recent census. And my friends, it all ties into the fact that the family is no longer prioritized. And of course, we are departing from a biblical world and life view. That is, we don't construct our lives by means of a biblical ethic or God's law anymore. We're not looking at establishing a biblical social society. We are more governed by Karl Marx, John Maynard Keynes, and Margaret Sanger than we are by Moses, John, and Paul, and of course our Lord Jesus Christ and the revelation he gives us in the Old and New Testaments. Well, that's fundamental, all right? When Christians say we're not going to teach God's law because we are Grace Community Church, when I talk about God's law here, you know that you've lost the Christian faith at that point. Because if you love me, Jesus says, you'll keep my commandments. Evidently, not many people loving God anymore in whatever these churches are. Okay, well, we actually love God. We want to keep his commandments. So we study the Word of God. We study the law of God and apply it on this radio program. And, of course, the reason we love God is because he loved us first. And Dave, I think the fundamental problem with American Christianity is we've separated ourselves from the law of God. Anyway, 95% of Americans confess to premarital sex, and this is affecting the Christian world. Christianity Today has a 12-page article on a issue called the case for early marriage. Mark Regnerus, a university professor, I believe, from Texas, is the author of the magazine article, and he talks about the fact that 95% of American adults experience sexual intercourse before marrying. The percentage of evangelicals, he says, not much lower. A nationally representative study of young adults, just under 80% of unmarried church-going conservative Protestants are currently dating somebody who's having sex of some sort with somebody. Okay, well, what to do about it? He says, intensify the abstinence message even more? No way. It's not going to work. The abstinence message is not working. Well, I think one reason it's not working is because people aren't loving God very much. And churches aren't all that interested in preaching the law of God. But if you love Jesus, you're going to wind up keeping Jesus' commandments. But he says the reason why we've got a problem with this is we're also putting off marriage. And he's got a point there. I agree with that. And that is the substance of this article. Also, another article from AP, Eric Gorski, writes, wait for sex and marriage. Evangelicals conflicted on the issue. The agonizing message to a young Christian couple in love. Sex can wait, but so can marriage. He believes that a big reason for this is, according to sociologist Anders Sherlin, who studies families and public policy, young marriage is a tough sale. A half century ago, when people married earlier, fewer people attended college. High school graduates could get good-paying factory jobs. Women became mothers right after school, and families were larger. You're right. Sociologically, things have changed dramatically because of the way that we educate children. So, Dave, a lot of these things are tied into the fact that we no longer raise our children the way we once did. You've got 70% of young boys not grown up by 30 years of age, yet at the same time, they're growing up in a heavily sexed atmosphere where it's all about sex, 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 and sex everywhere you look. And at the same time, they're acting like 16-year-olds when they're 30. So we got a huge problem. 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age. According to the article here by Mark Regnerus, most young men much, much less spiritually mature than the young women attending churches. So we got a recipe for disaster here. Young men not growing up by 30 years of age, huge problem. They spent the last 8 years of their lives getting all sexed up with all the inputs they're getting from movies and television, all of this sort of thing. And at the same time, you have these young men who can't get jobs. It takes forever to get through college and get a good job. So I think a huge problem is economic and educational. Back in 1890, when Almanza Wilder was plowing the fields next to Dad, he was plowing his own fields at 20. In fact, I think at, 13 years of age, he had his own cow. And that was a big deal for him. Remember that? Almanzo Wilder had his first cow at 13, but he was plowing his fields and had his own cabin built by the time he was 20, and I think he was married at 21 or 22. But now we've got these young boys going to college, and 40% of them aren't graduating. Of course, the college ratio of 43-57, the rest of them are playing video games, I guess. Takes 10 years after high school to get stabilized into a job. But, you know, 200 years ago, John Adams was raising his boys at 7 or 8. They were working in the fields. At 13, John Quincy was working as an ambassador to Russia. And, of course, Cotton Mather attended Harvard at 12. By the time he was 15, he was his father's right-hand man. His father, Increase, was off to England when Cotton was 17. So at 17 years of age, he was assistant pastor in this church with 300 or 400 people, preaching messages each Sunday while his father was fighting for American liberties and trying to renew a compact in 1685. But that was at 17 years of age. Of course, he was married at 21. Again, why? Because he started working when he was 7 or 8 years of age. This, to me, is the most basic problem we've got.
You said that we have a recipe for disaster. And all due respect, Kevin, I think we have an unmitigated disaster on our hands right now.
95% of Americans confessing to premarital sex, and evangelicals about the same ratio? Yeah, I call that a disaster.
Well, and half of marriages ending in divorce and boys not growing up. What we have here is a total shift in values. And maybe not in all the ways that we've thought about before. We have certainly the titillation and saturation of sex all around us, on billboards, on magazines. You can't go to Safeway. You can't drive down a street in Denver where there's billboards. You can't listen to music on most of the radio stations. You can't pass a high school without sex and titillation being right in front of your eyes. Now, God gave us a sex drive, and he did it in a way that was beautiful and glorious, that would be exercised in the union, part of becoming one in marriage. Yet the messages that we see have separated sex, copulation, from marriage, from unity. And now we're telling people to wait until you're fully socialized to get that job, and go ahead and do the sex apart from marriage. See, we have broken the pillars of society economically, in the family, in the way that we approach the relationship between men and women.
The recipe for disaster begins, my friend, when the kid is 8 or 9 years old. He's taught, number one, you don't go out and work. Number two, you sit and watch this sexed up R-rated movie and participate in these video games, these computer games that have all these sexual innuendos in them. And you listen to your sexed up music from Katy Perry and everybody else out there. And you expect that young man to be ready for life at 20 years of age. He's not being prepared to work. At the same time, he's being sexed up the whole distance. He's being awakened early sexually, while at the same time not prepared for work and life. What a disaster! And this, my friends, is imposed on us by our school systems, by our entertainment systems, by our social systems. And I'm not sure the evangelicals have exempted themselves from any of these problems. Well, anyway, this guy from Christianity Today writes his article. He says that time and again, I've listened to Christian undergraduates recount to me how their relationships turn sexual. These are Christian undergraduates, okay? This guy's a college professor. One thing I never ask them is why. I know why. Because sex feels great. It feels connectional. It feels deeply human. I never blame them for wanting that. Sex is intended to deepen personal relationships, and desire for it is intended to promote marriage. Such are the impulses of many young Christians in love. In an environment where parents and peers are encouraging them to delay thoughts of marriage, I'm not surprised that their sexuality remains difficult to suppress and the source of considerable angst. Well, that according to Mark Regnerus, a Ph.D. who works as professor of sociology at University of Texas, Austin. Ladies and gentlemen, huge problems on our hand today, and I think it's due to a lot of problems, due to the fact that we have abandoned a biblical social environment, a concept of discipleship for our young men, a preparation for work and life during the time that they're working through their 12s, 13s, and 14s, 15s, and 16s, and our heavily, heavily sexed society. In just a moment, we're going to talk a little bit more about how our young men can survive in this sexed-up atmosphere in which they're being raised. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
Dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. And how you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship that you'll have with your son. Don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our father-son retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we are featuring some great speakers like Doug Phillips, Bill Potter, and Kevin Swanson from the Generations Radio program. You'll also hear the Wintons Band, a father and sons trio who play some great gospel bluegrass to the glory of God. You'll enjoy father-son Olympics, sports, swimming, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. Register today for the father-son retreat taking place over the weekend of August 28th. You can register online at check.org, that's chec.org on the web, or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, a dad, a father of five, trying to raise a 17-year-old boy and four girls. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. He's got a couple of boys and a couple of girls himself. Dave, how in the world are we going to raise our young men and young women in an age where the culture is so sexed up? Everywhere you look, you got a sexual stimulation going on. And you know, our boys are in classrooms where there are girls who are not properly clothed. And of course, the girls themselves have been raised in this atmosphere where they have got to show as much of their body as possible in order to gain attention. And, you know, their own fathers aren't nurturing them in the fear and admonition of the Lord and teaching them the right things. And so these girls are trying to establish their identity and their worth by means of their sexual appeal. And these boys are going to have to survive through this age. At one point, you know, when Almanza Wilder was plowing the fields in the 1880s, it wasn't as if there were movie posters all over the place. They weren't going to movies. They didn't have movies. They didn't have strip joints. They didn't have girls walking around the malls half-clothed all the time. That wasn't the case in the 1880s. So it's possible a young boy could survive, could be 18, 19 years old before he was sexually awakened and have to deal with sexual temptation right and left.
Well, you raise a good point. What we have to do is prepare our boys and our girls, and we have to prepare them differently than the way the world is doing it. If we send our boys into the world and expect them not to be sexually tempted, we must be thinking that they don't have all their male parts. And if we send our girls into the world and expect them not to become the temptress, we are fooling ourselves. Young girls today compete with each other on their ability to manipulate through sexual attractiveness. Let's just say that's what they compete to see who can titillate the most.
And everywhere you look, you're running into it. Dave, FoxNews.com, I can't scroll down. I mean, I just don't scroll down. It's a waste of time. And then there's all these women who, I'm not sure what they call them, but they got a bunch of women with, you know, their breasts hanging out for everybody to sit and look at them. I don't want to spend my time staring at women with their breasts hanging out. I'm sorry, but that's not what I do. You know, I mean, I actually believe in Proverbs chapter 5 where I'm supposed to be delighted with the breasts of my own wife and not with the breasts of all these women. And, you know, I heard the story just again yesterday. Some guy said, going to church and trying to survive in church, but every time he turned around, there are women just, you know, with their breasts hanging out again and trying to make sure that the world is seeing at least a good portion of their breasts. And he just said it was so offensive and so difficult he had to change churches. I'm not sure that's a reason to change churches. Hopefully that you can resolve these issues within your own churches without having to leave. But it's so difficult to treat a sister like a sister and have brother-sister relationships in the church when you spent the last 5 days of the week running around, you know, trying to avoid looking at women because they're constantly trying to tempt these young men.
So what we have to recognize is the sexual impulse is an incredibly strong impulse that God has given us. He's given it to us for His glory because He enjoys seeing men and women married and reproducing. It's a picture of the church in Christ. To God, marriage is glorious and beautiful. But when we separate the sex act from the marriage, we have made it something profane and worldly. So we have to prepare our children. We have to readjust their thinking. They cannot get their sex messages from the world. They're going to. But we're going to have to give them a stronger message that comes from the Word of God, that sex is beautiful in the context of marriage, which means that we're going to have to start preparing our children to be husbands and wives. We're going to have to prepare our little girls to become women who will become helpmeets to their husband, women who will enjoy sex in marriage and in marriage only, that will save their beauty as a gift for their husbands. And we're going to have to prepare our young men to be able to provide, to be providers and protectors and leaders of their wives. We're not saying you're going to be a man when you're 30. We're going to say, let's start being a man now. We're going to have to rethink economics, because if we're saying you got to get your master's degree before you're prepared to be married, thinking a guy's going to be pure till he's 30, either he suppressed the sexual impulse that he doesn't, he might not even have it. We wonder what then is formed in his mind in terms of patterns of life. And at 30 years age, he's got these patterns of life that aren't very conducive to marriage if he's never been married. We need people, we need our sons working beside us when they're 13, 14, 15, if we have a business, to be passing that on to them. So the time that they're 20 years age, they're prepared to have a wife and to succeed in this marriage. We have to rethink preparation, because this is what we're called to do.
Yeah, on the one hand, we want to make sure that our sons are working when they're 8 and 9 and 10 years old, and hopefully working beside dad in his business or in the fields or what have you, or with mentors throughout their teenage years, so that they are ready to make their $42,000 a year, plow their fields, build their cabin when they're 21, 22 years of age. But at the same time, Dave, we're dealing with the problem of that young man's sexual situation being awakened when he's 9 or 10 or 11 or 12. And sometimes that happens through pornography. Sometimes it happens through just the stimulation and titillation that is happening all the time in society around us. Song of Solomon has, of course, God's book on sexuality, marital intimacy. I did a series on that in our church, available at Sermon Audio if anybody's interested. But in Song of Solomon, you have this regular reference to do not awaken love before its time. Do not awaken love before its time. I think 4 to 5 times the wise man in the Song of Solomon says you've got to be careful. You do not awaken love before its time. But when you have all of the stimulation and titillation going on, you know the purpose of the stimulation and titillation. Come on, everybody knows the purpose of it is to sit there and poke and poke and poke at some guy's privates in order to awaken him as early as possible, so that he will be fornicating at 13, 14, 15 years of age. And, of course, for the evangelicals, they usually wait till they're 18 or 19 or 20, so that's really the only difference, I think, between the evangelicals and the mass population today. But, again, our purpose, I think, is to be very careful to our boys and say, the purpose of these pictures is to awaken you. Do not awaken. Do not awaken. Do not awaken love before its time. And Dave, they may have to spend their hours working and hopefully being accountable to their mentors and to their fathers during these years, and not watching a lot of motion pictures and television. I hate to say it, but I think we're going to have to avoid a lot of that if the focus of our boys is going to be right during those teenage years.
So not only do we have to address preparation, we have to address the issue of protection. The Proverbs also say, can a man heap coals upon his lap and not get burned? And that's a sexual reference. Can you stimulate your lap and not give in to it? Well, eventually you're going to fall. And Paul says, better to marry than to burn in your lust. So we need to be preparing these guys for marriage, not for unmarriage. That's part of the problem. Some of these purity pledges and stuff are preparing people not ever to be married, rather than preparing them to be married. What we need to do is be preparing them, yet at the same time protecting them. Now, we know that the sexual messages are going to reach our children, because you can't blind them and make them deaf. You know, if you could remove the senses from your children until it's time to get married, maybe you could have perfect protection. It's not going to happen. Our children are going to see these messages. These messages are directed at our children. Sex does sell. The messages they are giving is a bad form of sexuality. It's a form of sexuality outside of the context of marriage. In fact, Hollywood and the television will tell you that sex happens best pre-marriage. We need to counteract those messages. We need to raise them in purity. Okay, the messages are going to get through. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to have a conversation with our children. Say, son, that there, that's the Proverbs 7 woman. Her steps lead to death.
Do not go nigh her door. Don't even take the step, brother. Don't take the step. Okay, you've seen the picture. Don't take the step. Do not go. You got an image across your screen. Do not click. Do not click. Do not click. You know, he's got to know that he cannot awaken that desire. That desire is for his wife.
And I'm saying that desire is going to be somewhat awoken, whether he wants it to or not. But what we can do is, in terms of our sons, is we can teach them the value God puts on purity if we do it in a way that builds his piety. In other words, you can't have purity separate from piety. They're a package deal.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, he's not to tempt himself, and if it becomes increasingly intense upon him, eventually he's going to wind up in that sin, and he's going to wind up addicted to those sinful patterns, and that, unfortunately, is what we see with a lot of young men. I can remember, even as a young boy, growing up in the mission field in Japan, there were so many X-rated pictures all over the streets in Japan, it was impossible for me not to miss the messages, and again, it was X-rated, it wasn't just R-rated, we're talking just X-rated stuff everywhere throughout Japan. Japan is known for its pornography and its public nature, and I was offended as a young boy. Now, God preserved me in many ways throughout my college years, but those early experiences were really rough on me, and I think it's important for fathers to come alongside and at least acknowledge, okay, those pictures are there. All right, you saw the billboards as we were driving through Las Vegas. All right, let's talk about that for a moment. Let's have the discussion. Son, that is the Proverbs 7 woman. Let's label it. I mean, you know, put the label underneath the billboard, the Proverbs 7 woman. And you're not to give in to this woman. You're not to go nigh her door. And in the meantime, son, let's talk about what God really has for your life, and that is marriage. You're going to get married someday. You need to save yourself for that woman, and you need to work for that woman. And you need to value that woman. Her price is far above rubies, and you need to prepare for that woman. I think it's important, Dave, to give our young men some goals, too. Say, you know, it looks like you may be married by the time you're 20 or 21. You're 19 now, and I think within about 2 years, it looks to me like your ability to work is really coming to fruition. I did this with my assistant, Chad Roach. I know his father was involved in a lot of these discussions as well, but of course, as a mentor, I felt it very important to focus on this aspect of his character as well. And we spent a lot of time talking about when he was prepared to get married and how to make those preparations and how to stay pure in the process. And at the point where he is making sufficient money, and I think right now, this year, things are really coming to a head with him. He's about 21 years old, and he's going to be about ready to get married here within, say, 6 months to a year. And that's because he's financially ready, and we've been working on this for the last 3 to 4 years. And so, again, set some goals. Show that young man that he's got some potential. And he could potentially get married by the time he's 21 or 22. But in the meantime, it's important to work that boy. Keep him busy. Make sure that he knows that he's got lots and lots of work to do before he's ready to get married. And in the process, of course, engage those accountable structures. I lived the age of uncountability from the time I was about 17 or 18 years old. My folks went back to the mission field until I was about 25 or 26 when I got married. For about 6 or 7 years, I worked, you know, from one situation to another situation, but never really in accountability with anybody. My roommates really didn't care what I was doing. They never really had much spiritual accountability with me, because that's just the way it was. We were all fairly immature. We had no real intention to mentor or to disciple one another or to stay into spiritual accountability with each other. That's just the way it worked in the flop houses and the dorm situations that we lived in during those college years. But, of course, the age of unaccountability is anathema to this radio program. We don't live in those situations anymore. We've abandoned that way of living. We live with people who care about us and care about our character and hold us accountable for what we're doing. They stay on the covenant eyes with what we're doing on the web. So we have accountability on the web. We have accountability in what we're doing day by day. We live with each other. If we wanted an opportunity to go out and fornicate, we wouldn't have that opportunity because we're living with each other. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas are with each other all the time. And this is the kind of raising that we're giving to our young men and our young women so that by the time they're 21, 22, 23 years of age, they're marrying, and they're marrying in purity. And by the way, Dave, it's critical. It is absolutely critical that there be accountability during the courtship period. This is one reason why a lot of young men and young women wind up fornicating, because they are in that pickup together for an hour or two at a time, and they have opportunity to engage in fornicating relationships prior to marriage, and that's unacceptable in our worldview.
And that's the natural draw. You get closer with each other, you're going to get physically closer, and one thing leads to another, and that's the desire. That, again, that's the desire God has put there, and we need to call that good in the right context. So what we're talking about now is the strategies of how to protect our children. You mentioned Covenant Eyes. We use a program called Be Secure. It's both a filter and an accounting device. It gives you a list of pages. I don't even want my son to trip on them. On these images by mistake. It blocks out the banner ads and so forth. We use a clear play filter on our movies that we would watch. If we'd get a DVD, it knocks out those scenes. I don't even want to have to explain them at this point in our lives. We want to be able to just go past them and say, we're not going to spend our time looking at those things that are not beneficial. We want our children, or especially our boys, working. That's the theory of displacement. If they're working really hard, they're not spending their time where it isn't productive. We want them in a relationship where they don't have big chunks of time. Idle hands are the devil's workshop, and idle minds will go towards the flesh. It is the nature of things. And the other theory, you call it the displacement theory, but I'm going to call it the going to the light theory, where they're reading the Word of God. We want to see that our children's hearts are focused on the light of Christ, and they're praying, and the purity of Jesus Christ is something that motivates them. It's not just dad's rules. It's the desire of their own heart for life. And lastly, and maybe this is one of the biggest problems in the evangelical church, is we want to see marriages, and especially the marriage that we're modeling, as one of affection and hotness, for lack of a better word. We want not only the message that sex belongs in marriage, but it is delightful in marriage, not a hassle.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, addressing the Christianity Today article today on Generations. All right, ladies and gentlemen, addressing the Christianity Today article today on Generations, and I'm not sure this Dr. So-and-so from some university in Texas has it when he says, just get married earlier, that'll fix it. It won't fix it if you do not disciple those boys. If you're not engaging in discipling relationships with those young people from the time they are young children, we want to impress on you the importance of discipleship and mentorship and accountability. We need to abandon this idea of the college life where you don't have those accountable discipling relationships going on. What is presented by Christianity Today is not a solution. What is a solution is discipleship and accountability and changing the social fabric by which we live our lives. And that's what we postulate on this radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Get your friends and family members tuned into us. And you can also interact with the radio program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.